Stay tuned for The Cinema Clash, as Maryland-based critics Charlie Jewell and Hannah Buchdahl debate the merits of new releases, from the mainstream movies that Hannah tends to favor to obscure foreign films that Charlie likes to champion. It's free-flowing, unedited conversation with an occasional wine wager. Two very different perspectives, one entertaining podcast. Let the clash begin.
Hello and welcome to The Cinema Clash. I am Hannah Buchdahl of ChickFlix.net, joined remotely yet again by that guy who likes to fill his plate with cinematic veggies while I go straight for dessert. It's my co-host, Charlie Jewell of CharlieJewell.com. Hey there, Charlie.
Well, my condolences, because I think one of your desserts passed away today. Mr. Edelweiss himself, Mr. Inside Man, Mr. Beginners, Mr. Kevin Spacey replacement, Christopher Plummer, your boy Christopher Plummer just passed away.
I believe that would be Mr. Captain Von Trapp. I mean, you left out the most.
I said Mr. Edelweiss. That was my lead-in. That was my lead-off hitter.
Okay. Well, yes, it's very sad to hear of his passing, because you know he was a legend, and I love watching Sound of Music every year. And even though it was not his favorite role, it's my favorite role of his. So there you have it.
Yeah, I grew up on Sound of Music. My mom really liked it. And then, you know, he disappeared for a long time. I don't know where he went, but then he appeared back when I was in my later 20s, and he never left. He had such a late career resurgence. And man, everybody, that's going to be a huge in memoriam list. I mean, Cicely Tyson, Larry King, and that's just like this week. It's getting busy out there.
It's crazy. I mean, it really, Cloris Leachman, I mean, it just felt like it was every day. There was another one, but I guess it sort of goes with the era, unfortunately, but they will all be missed. And yes, it will be quite the in memoriam when Oscar season rolls around. So hopefully it won't grow too much. You know, we've lost too many.
Well, speaking of award season, you're busy. You're flailing right now. We, the DC Film Critics Association, are nominating. In fact, we're nominating today. And ended tomorrow, the nominations will be announced, and then the winners, whatever they may be, will be announced, I don't know, Monday morning. I'm already done. My homework is done, Hannah. I've already studied for the test. Teacher, you forgot to assign us homework,
and yep, you
haven't even started.
you are that classmate that everyone hates, who just rushes up and turns the paper in before anybody's even put, you know, pencil to paper, and you're like, oh, so that you can, like, you know, go and turn around and laugh at everyone and go and start your homework for the rest of the school year early. It's just pathetic. But hey, yes, I do need to buckle down at some point and come up with my nominations. It's going to be very hard because I just found there were so many films that were just kind of on par on the same level. I just can't figure out what I want for those real breakthrough 5 nominations per category that we just sort of come up with, and then we find out what everyone else liked, and then we sort of have to pick from the nominations that are formalized tomorrow. And so it's always a tough one because you put forth your own personal picks, and then the nominations might not mirror what you were hoping for. So it's always a challenging weekend.
The nominations rarely mirror what I'm hoping for. I have my outliers. I have a couple that I know are sure they're already going to make it, but mine are mostly outliers. And then you see the, whatever it is, the top 5. And it's, you know, it's what I call the safe films. Like, oh, I've already seen these in all the other critics groups or the SAG Awards. Like, these are, of course, these are here. And then I have to end up picking between them. But yeah, usually, you know, 1 or 2 per category I'll get and cry over the other 3 or 4. But you know, is what it is. I guess it's a democracy.
That's right. The democracy rules, and we like to mix up our plate and not just load it up with veggies.
I love my veggies. I've nominated a whole bunch of veggies. But let's talk about new films this week, and you know, enjoy it, because I looked at next week, and good Lord, that's busy. But we're going to talk about 3 films this week. One we match on, and then the other 2 we split. So we're going to start with the film that we both saw, and you can go watch it right now if you have a subscription to Amazon Prime Video. You can go watch Bliss, starring Owen Wilson and Salma Hayek. You know what? Those are two actors you don't see too often anymore. You see them every now and then, maybe once a year, but I just noticed, yeah, you just don't see them too often anymore. Maybe they're getting older, the roles are getting a little bit too more few and far between. Written and directed by Mike Cahill. I like Mike Cahill. In fact, I love Mike Cahill because in 2011, he did Another Earth starring Britt Marling. Another Earth made my top 10 list that year. Blew my mind. Little low-grade sci-fi drama studying humanity, but through a science fiction lens about a second Earth that's on the opposite side of the sun from us. It's fascinating. Then he did the way out there I Origins. That one's hard. That was a hard movie. And Bliss is not as hard as I Origins. Bliss, Owen Wilson, Greg, got the world's worst job, freshly divorced, nothing going on. He's having these daydreams. He just spaces out and he has to draw. He has to draw what he's seeing. He sees this dream house. He sees this woman. And then he gets fired because he just spaces out. He can't focus. And in the bar, he wants to drink himself away. He's sad. He meets Isabel. That's Salma Hayek. She says, "You're real." Like, what do you mean I'm real? Of course I'm real. No. All these other people, your coworkers, everybody in this bar, your daughter, they're all fake. We're living in a computer simulation, aka we know that as they're living in the Matrix. And she proves it to him. She proves they're living in a computer simulation. She makes people drop things. She makes people fall down. She can light candles from 20 feet away. She says, "Here, take these yellow crystals. You'll see it. You'll see it too. You're real." And man, does it take a turn then. He discovers he has powers. They take the blue crystals, which means it takes them back to reality out of this computer simulation. It is some heavy-duty, well, it's not heavy-duty sci-fi. It's light sci-fi. It's heavy-duty mind business, Hannah. And I know how much you, Hannah, love mind business.
Yeah, you definitely like this one more than I did. Yeah, whenever they call these films, you know, the mind bender romance, I'm like, ugh, it was weird. Again, I just substitute, whenever they kind of often put in mind bender, if you just substitute weird, then that serves too, because this is just a weird movie. And you never know whether you're in the reality or whether it's alternate universes, parallel universes. Reality, fiction. I didn't particularly care about their relationship. And I think that was the biggest flaw that this movie has going, is that if you can't really root for them as a couple, then there's nothing to hang your hat on here. And so while there's nothing wrong with their performances, I do have issues with Salma Hayek's wardrobe when she's in simulation world. I'm like, what's up with that? I don't know. But I just did not feel like getting dragged into this particular illusion. They shove stuff up their noses in order to exit the simulated reality. I thought that was just gross. This is definitely one where it's better for the Charlies of the world if you want to take time to really unpack it all in your brain and decide if and why it makes some sort of sense. And, you know, you might want to watch this film. I didn't hate it. I just can't say that I liked it. Reminded me a bit of one that I don't think you ever caught up on, Synchronic, back in October. It was with Anthony Mackie and Jamie Dornan. And that was another one of these sort of bizarro sci-fi time travel things going on. And I liked Synchronic far better than Bliss.
Weird, though, it's such a basic word for what's going on here. I think instead of weird, you just mean creative. Wow, I haven't seen it done this way before. And so you label it weird. I wasn't rooting for them either, because this is not a romance. You're not rooting for the couple because you're trying to solve a mystery. Which reality is the real one? Are they both real? Are neither of them real? It's not a romance. You don't want them to get engaged, affianced, and married.
They are touting it. The synopsis for this film called it a mind-bending love story. And so that is where that's coming from. That is how they were marketing this. Well, then that's the problem, is that I was looking for a mind-bending love story, and I got a mind-bending weird story.
They are soulmates. Isabel says to Greg, "You are my soulmate," and I believe her. But no, it's not a love story. There's way too much other stuff going on here. Now, maybe this is one of those movies that's big enough where, you know, everyone likes it because we all find our own different things in it. I liked it because, whoa, reality, sci-fi, mind-bending. Other people be like, ooh, I just love the love story. And maybe the love story just wasn't written deep enough, well enough to get that portion of the audience to latch onto this film.
That could very well be, and I'm that portion of the audience, so I did not latch onto this film. Again, I didn't hate it. It just didn't do anything for me. It was just kind of okay, and it was very strange. Also, I was a little thrown off because it's very funny now when we sometimes request these screeners, and you don't know whether you're going to get a particular kind of link. This was one where you actually were supposed to log in at a very specific time, and on the day that they sent me the link, and I was actually not expecting to have to watch it immediately. So that might have been part of it too, is that I was just a little thrown by, oh, it starts in an hour and a half. I have to actually watch this tonight. But it is also, it's kind of always interesting though to know that you're pretty much watching at the same time so that we can get each other's just initial reaction right off the bat.
I actually watched it before you did. I didn't have to sit down and watch it at a prescribed time.
Ah, you're kidding.
I like that it didn't judge. You know, no one's pointing fingers like, hey, you, this is the reality, get with it. No one's judging. It's actually very compassionate and very empathetic. And that's why I think great casting, Owen Wilson. You know, he's a nice guy. He's very calm. He's got this soft voice. Salma, on the other hand, is a lot sharper, and she has to be. Her character has to be that way, but Owen Wilson is just a stroke of genius casting. You need a nice guy for that role, and they really got him there.
Yeah, I had no problem with Owen Wilson in that role, but I did not feel that there was any chemistry really between Owen Wilson and Selma Hayek to justify what was supposed to be this push and pull of alternate worlds, one that's supposed to be peaceful and beautiful and full of bliss, and then the harsh world that's ugly and simulated that you don't want to live in.
All right, moving on. Go see Bliss, by the way. It's good. Here, I am going to talk about the film that has the most buzz right now. It's all over Twitter. It's all over Insta. Everyone's talking about Malcolm and Marie, and they're talking about it because this had, until everybody saw it, awards push. It's like, ooh, John David Washington, he's going to get nominated. Zendaya. Little Zendaya, she's going to get nominated. And then the scandals came. Ooh, Zendaya is 12 years younger than John David Washington, and they're doing a lot of stuff on the floor, if you know what I mean. Little pure Zendaya, who was a Disney girl, and everyone's not used to seeing her, not necessarily in her altogether, but seeing her. I know her from The Greatest Showman. I don't know her from, you know, her child roles. I'd never heard of what she, you know, the stuff she did or where she came. And apparently, you know, she was Hannah Montana kind of stuff. Now she's Zendaya. Well, this is COVID filmmaking. There's only two people in the cast, and they, you know, shot it in the middle of nowhere, isolated. And here you go. Two people in a film written and directed by Sam Levinson. I know him from 2018's Assassination Nation, a hyper-violent, just insane film that I'm in the minority on, that I liked it. Malcolm, John David Washington, he is an up-and-coming director, and they just get home from a party, from a film premiere. His film was shown for the first time, and everybody loved it. People were crying, the critics were raving. He is on a high, he is dancing around the room. And then there's Marie. She is not as excited. In fact, she has a chip on her shoulder after finally dragging it out. What's wrong? Just tell me what's wrong. You didn't thank me in your speech. You know, you spent an hour and a half thanking all these other people. You didn't thank me. And that spurs 90 minutes, 100 minutes of a fight. Like, this is a 100-minute long fight of back and forth. And they each have these very, very long diatribes and soliloquies and pages of script where they just lay into each other. They drag it all out there. Do not talk to your significant other like this, by the way. You won't have a significant other. I can't believe they're together, or ever were, or ever will be after this night, because good Lord, they are not compatible, or maybe they're so compatible that they can fight like this and move on. The reason this has backlash, the reason this has really big scandals, because of Sam Levinson. Once everybody saw Malcolm and Marie, I mean, the real important critics, they noticed Sam Levinson is fighting back at critics. He did not like what people did to his film Assassination Nation, especially the Los Angeles Times and a very particular female reporter that wrote on that film. So he has, this white director, has black actors tear apart a white bitch critic. And he doesn't name her, but he might as well. Everybody knows who he's talking about. It's just the quickest amount of research will say, wow, he's talking about a real review and he's talking about a real critic and he's doing it through actors. He's got an axe to grind. What an odd thing to do.
Well, and wasn't this one in black and white as well?
So oh, how did it's that so play? Gorgeous. Hannah, it's so gorgeous. It's shot on film. It's shot on film, not digital, and it is in black and white, and it's so gorgeous, it's good looking. And the performance, especially Zendaya, Zendaya's performance is insane. She's really good. But, man, it's such a mean script. It's an endurance test. Like, oh my God, we just finished a fight. They're going to make up for 2 minutes, and then someone's going to say something, and then they're going to do it again. And like, oh God, I can't believe we're going to do it again. So it's draining. It's such a draining film.
Ugh, who needs that?
But I liked it.
Of course you did. And another romantic drama that I wouldn't have liked as a romance. But yeah, and I saw that it was rated R for foul language, crude foreplay, and toxic egotism.
I think that's how I described it. A wonderful description. I didn't see that. Toxic ego. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. So I was wondering, toxic egotism. That sounds interesting. And you did not make reference to who John David Washington is son of.
Because I thought everybody already knew from he was the Black Klansman. He was in Tenet. Everybody knows John David Washington is your boy Denzel's son. Everybody knows that.
That's right. But I don't know, but you know, you kept talking up Denzel last week in about the little things. So the question is, do you think that Malcolm and Marie will do better at what counts as the box office these days than Dad's film from last week, The Little Things?
No, because even though more people have access to this because it's on Netflix and way more people subscribe to Netflix and HBO Max, The Little Things just got nominated for one guy that no one thought would get nominated, but he got a Globe nomination and he got a SAG nomination. So now everyone's going to run out and watch The Little Things and everyone's going to hear, oh, Malcolm and Marie, I heard that's in black and white. No way. Or maybe everyone will watch Malcolm and Marie because they heard, ooh, Zendaya. She's only like 24 years old, and I heard you could see Zendaya. So maybe that will titillate the audience.
I guess there are some out there that would be a real draw. I have a feeling that Malcolm and Marie is not one that I'm going to bother rushing out and seeing. Again, I want like a real romantic drama. I don't want these toxic ones or real world versus simulated world, what's real, what's not. Just give me a good old-fashioned romantic drama or romantic comedy or something. What happened to those?
There were 1 million of them. Now let's try something different, Hannah.
All right, you can have your something different. I'm going to go back and find some of the old classics and just fill my brain with something that's not mind-bending or toxic.
Well, let's talk about the film you saw this week, which I guarantee you is not that mind-bending. tell me about, what was it, Son of the South?
Son of the South, which I kept wanting to say Song of the South because going back to my youth, that was a Disney film that I remember was probably one of the first movies that I ever remember seeing. But this is not that. Son of the South is essentially, it's based on a true story. And I did not really know this story. It's about this guy who grew up in Deep South Alabama in the early 1960s. He was the grandson of a Klansman, and he became a civil rights activist. He defied his family and white Southern norms to really fight, you know, against social injustice and really align himself with the likes of John Lewis and the Freedom Riders. And so the guy who is featured in this, it's based on the autobiography called The Wrong Side of Murder Creek, and by Bob Zellner. And Lucas Till plays Bob Zellner in this movie. And I kept looking at him going, where do I know him from? And he's from the X-Men franchise, but also is probably best known now as TV's new MacGyver. And so he was playing a college age guy, though. So I was like, I don't know if that's the right age range exactly, but he does a fine job. Lucas Till does a fine job in this film. But the problem with this movie is that it has no idea what it wants to be. It never finds its footing or a tone. It's all over the place. These great civil rights icons and characters like Rosa Parks is in it. You know, Sharon, I don't know how you say her name. Sharon Lanier plays Rosa Parks. Cedric the Entertainer shows up as the Reverend Ralph David Abernathy. Brian Dennehy, this is the last film I think that he was in before his passing. And you have these incredible strong actors who are in this film with, I don't know, a bunch of over actors. They just exaggerate their roles, and it made for a very uneven viewing experience. It has some heavy hitters behind it. I mean, again, this is a true story. I appreciate it's got a great message behind it about, you know, making choices and standing up for what's right. And Spike Lee is an executive producer on the film. The late Maya Angelou was an early supporter of it. And so the perspective is unique. The message is good, but it had nothing by way of really dramatic or emotional impact. And so there's certainly no harm in watching it, but it's not going to rise, you know, into the consciousness of those really good civil rights movement films.
I can see it having a lot of trouble finding its place because of all the civil rights, very strong African-American led civil rights films this mm-hmm. year, this season. I mean, you've got One Night in Miami, doesn't get more civil rights heavy hitters than that, full of Hall of Famers. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom in its own way, and the most direct, Judas and the Black Messiah. Heavy hitters, huge, notorious, real people. And then you've got Son of the South.
This is a real right person, too.
I know he's real, but you have this tiny real. Little tiny story that's trying to shoehorn its way into the Fred Hampton story, into the Muhammad Ali story.
No, it could be that the timing is not the best for this film. And, you know, and also when you've got a documentary that you can watch, like John Lewis, Good Trouble, that's going to be, you know, I would say go watch that first. I think I just saw that they're going to actually make a John Lewis, a narrative, a feature film about John Lewis and the Freedom Riders. And so that's going to, you know, be something that I would definitely want to see. This one, the only thing that makes it unique or different is the fact that you are talking about someone who, you know, joined that movement as a white person and at great risk to, you know, to himself and to his standing within his family, and to be growing up in 1960s Alabama and to make this particular choice, you know, it's a risky and it's a brave choice. Unfortunately, the story is just not told all that well. So it's a good story. It's just not a great movie.
Speaking of not great movies, let's talk about the Golden Globes. Every year, the Golden Globe, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, somehow just plants their foot right in a whole bunch of how could they articles. Because there every year there are accusations that the Globe voting body can be bought. They can be bought. And there's examples of this over and over and over again. This year, let's talk about the scandals this year. No Da Five Bloods, no One Night in Miami, no Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, no Judas and the Black Messiah. What do all of those films have in common? Exactly. No actors from Minari. In fact, they put Minari in the foreign film category. So yeah, the Globes have done stepped in it again. Those are the snubs. Let's talk about the surprises. The huge surprise, Jared Leto. Who was talking about Jared Leto as Mr. Creepy McCreeperson from The Little Things? He got in over Chadwick Boseman, which is fine, that minor role in The Da Five Bloods, but some people really do like it. He got in over Paul Raci from Sound of Metal.
Ridiculous. Yep.
They nominated two nominations from something called Music by Sia that nobody has seen except the Hollywood Foreign Press Association because, well, I don't know if they're ready to show it to anybody yet. And all of a sudden, the only thing that people know about it is because Sia got in a Twitter war about casting a neurotypical actress over an autistic one for an autistic role. And that was a thing. No one has seen Music except for the 90 voting members of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And there were two nominations for the Mauritanian. First, it's just the first club to do it. So, of course, I'm going to watch the Globes. I almost watch the Globes. And I wonder if they nominate people that I know will make a good party. But they did it again, Hannah. They stepped in it again.
Yeah. I'm, at this point, I start to think that it's all on purpose, like big time. That it's that they know that they need to do something to draw people in. And so they almost court the controversy that comes every year. I feel like we have this conversation every year with what in the world are they thinking with some of these choices? But the best choice that they made is Tina Fey and Amy Poehler to co-host, because honestly, I do think that that is going to be the highlight of the Golden Globes, is going to be watching those two. I don't think anybody cares about the Hollywood Foreign Press. You know, it's like 90 people who I think award the best junkets that they were invited to.
Yeah.
This year, you couldn't really have those kinds of junkets, but maybe they were given better access to doing a little cool Zoom interview with people that they might not otherwise have been able to hobnob with. But yeah, I have a huge problem with something like Music that is in the same category with Hamilton and The Prom and even Borat. And you mentioned liking Palm Springs. So how this Music movie could have somehow gotten in there with zero buzz, it just blows my mind.
And remember, that's the famous best comedy / musical category that The Martian was in. You know, that's your favorite example. I love when you bring that up. You know, the comedy, The Martian. So the day after the Golden Globes announced their nominees, the SAG Awards, the much larger voting body, the entire Screen Actors Guild is in on this one. And maybe they're in for a bit of a course correction. They nominated the actors from Minari. Okay, all right, good. We've got Da Five Bloods, no Delroy, but we've got Da Five Bloods showing up. No Paul Raci. They got Jared Leto again. Okay. And the two maybe the biggest prizes, they've got Hillbilly Elegy, its own walking controversy. They did, a lot of people thought Glenn Close would make it as supporting actresses, and there's, most people think she'll make it as an Oscar nominee. But they threw in Amy Adams as best lead actress. There's such a divide over Hillbilly. Everyone already assumes the critics hate Hillbilly Elegy. They didn't even give it a chance. They hate it because it was written by a Republican. And that's just what everybody assumes. I didn't like it because it's just a stupid movie. The snub was Amanda Seyfried for Mank, who I didn't nominate for anything either. I didn't even like Mank. But, you know, she's been nominated for everything. This is the one she didn't get. This is the one she didn't get was SAG. Mank got like 6 nominations for the Globes. Didn't get SAG though.
So yeah, for actors, that one hurts because I think, you know, they really Golden Globes, like, all right, whatever. People can sort of just make it more of a popularity contest, but with the SAG nominations, it's your peers. And so I think, I think actors really want the recognition from fellow actors the same way that when the Directors Guild comes out, you know, a director wants to be nominated by the Directors Guild. So I think for the most part, there were no big surprises in the SAG nominations. I mean, when you talk about the best cast, I'm good with all the choices, Da Five Bloods, Ma Rainey, Minari, One Night in Miami, and Trial of the Chicago 7. Those were all really well cast, well rounded actors. And so you talk about safe. I think the SAG Awards are definitely are pretty safe.
Yeah, there, no huge surprise in the big award. Their Best Ensemble Award is code for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And no surprises there. They certainly made up for the Globes. But it doesn't matter what they nominate. I'm still going to watch it.
Yep, still absolutely. I'll put it on my calendar too. And we'll have next week, we will have the results of the WAFCA Award. So we'll be able to talk about that a little bit. But I would say for now, that's a wrap for this edition of the Cinema Clash. And thanks so much for listening. As always, if you have a question, comment, need to vent to Charlie, shoot us a tweet, visit us at thecinemaclash.com. Till then, wear a mask, watch your distance, wash those hands, and when it's your turn, please take the shot.
Thank you.
The Cinema Clash with Charlie Jewell and Hannah Buchdahl is heard twice each weekend at 5:15 on Saturday and 12:15 on Sunday afternoon. Join us again next time for The Cinema Clash.